It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Jim Dewink, Dean of the School of Education at BJU.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll get there in just a moment. My message today is about Peter. My purpose, however, is not to glorify Peter, or any man for that matter, but simply to show how much Jesus loved Peter and how far out he stretched himself to encompass Peter in spite of Peter's difficulties in life and his efforts to serve him. Peter was an interesting character. He never had to worry about what was on his mind. It was always right out front. If they knew anything about ADHD back then, I suspect that Peter might have been diagnosed that way. He certainly had a tendency toward impulsivity. It's obvious from the order of the listing of the disciples where they appear in the New Testament that Peter was to be a prominent person because, as I checked those references, he was first in each of the places that he was listed. I can't think of Peter without thinking of his experience walking on the water. And that's why I ask you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew 14, beginning to read from verse 22, we see what is revealed in this account of Jesus walking on the water, which is the only one to mention Peter's experience there. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter, the only one to speak, answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" We have a lot of fun with Peter over this incident and others. But the truth of the matter is, how many of us could honestly say that on a bright, sunshiny day with no wind, had Jesus beckoned us to come, that we would have bailed out of the ship and walked to him on the water? But it wasn't that kind of a day for Peter. It was the middle of the night, and it had been storming for hours. And in spite of what Peter could see as he looked out on the sea, he got out. Now, it didn't last long, because he quickly took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves, and he sank. But Jesus responded to poor Peter, and he met his need at that time. And there are a number of instances in the New Testament where we find Peter being prominent. Another is right here in Matthew 16. In three of the Gospels, we read of the confession of Christ that Peter made. And this one is a little different. We look at it here in Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. "And when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And so here again we see the preeminence of Peter quickly responding to the question that the Lord Jesus asked. I think there's little question why Peter soon became a special object of Satan's attack. It was because he was so preeminent. He desired to be out there in the front. And Satan determined to trip him up if he could. And in Matthew 26, we have the record of the experience that only Peter initially responds to. In Matthew 26, verse 31, it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. But it was Peter who was the most vocal, the most braggadocious in claiming that he would never deny the Lord. And he became the special object of Satan's attack, I think, as a direct result of that forwardness that he presented. In Luke chapter 22, we have a special account. All four of the Gospels record this particular event, but only Luke records this dialogue, beginning in verse 31 of Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, this is a scene that I find very similar to the scene we have in Job, where Satan petitioned the Lord to be able to try Job in a very special way. And while we don't have that kind of a picture of Satan actually going to the Lord for permission, it's that kind of a testing that Peter went through on this occasion. And Jesus told Peter that his faith was going to be tried. And I think it's interesting. Jesus could have said, I'm going to pray for you, Peter, and when you are tested, you will not fail. But he didn't say that. And that's not what happened. Jesus did pray for Peter. We know he did because he said he would. Peter failed. We understood that that was going to happen. But we also know as we get to the end of the story that Peter came around and he served the Lord again. Shortly after Jesus' warnings of Peter, Jesus and all of the disciples were there in the garden, and the soldiers who accompanied the religious leaders came into the garden to arrest the Lord Jesus. And again we see Peter's impetuous spirit. John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now certainly, one would think that when Peter had taken the action he took here in the garden, where here's a whole group of soldiers that the religious leaders brought to protect them, not knowing what might happen when they tried to rescue. And here Peter pulls out a sword. In fact, the possibility is it really wasn't a sword as we normally think of a sword, but a small knife that had been used in the preparation of the Last Supper that they enjoyed together, and they put two of them away. Peter draws his knife, his sword, whatever it was. And he stood there willing to defend the Lord and actually took action so fast that Jesus did not have time to speak. And he cut off the high servant's ear. But Jesus rebuked him. "Now is not the time for such action, Peter. But a little girl would melt Peter's courage. Just a little girl. And he would fail, even as Jesus said he would. Jesus said all the disciples would depart, and they did. After the servant's ear was restored, all the disciples fled. And Peter was with them. But though Peter fled, he soon returned to the scene of the trial. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 54, we find Peter standing over on the side, observing the proceedings of the trial. Beginning with verse 54, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew." And that next verse is a verse that puts fear into my own heart when I think of sin and being exposed to God in the presence of my sin. Verse 61 said, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." The scripture does not record what Peter did between then and that scene on the Galilean seashore when he and the other disciples were fishing. But I strongly suspect that Peter spent many long hours weeping because of his sin, because he had so miserably failed the Lord, even having been warned that he would fail, and his failure having started with the accusation from a young maiden. And he lost his courage. Surely Peter remembered the words of the Lord, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." The Gospels all to describe the events that took place on what we describe as Easter morning. But there's one of the Gospels that provides detail that none of the other Gospels provide. That's the Gospel of Mark. Turn with me to Mark 16. Mark 16. Beginning to read with verse 5. "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man standing on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples that he goeth before you into Galilee.'" Did we leave something out? "Go tell his disciples and Peter." Can you imagine, in the midst of all that Jesus Christ, the God-man, had gone through, on the resurrection morning, remembered Peter and his failure. But I think beyond the remembering that Jesus did at that time, Jesus knew Peter's heart and how sorrowful he was for having failed the Lord. He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Only one disciple's name was called. Just Peter. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. This is a precious portion of Scripture. Peter had apparently assembled six other disciples with him. After having spent the evening together, they decided to go fishing. And they were in a little fishing boat out there just a short distance from the shore in Galilee. And they fished all night. And they hadn't caught anything. Any of you guys or gals fishermen? I used to fish a lot. And I fished many nights without catching a single fish. You remember what Jesus said to them as they were still out there in the little boat and they had not yet recognized him for who he was? Children, have you any meat? That's the last question a fisherman who has caught no fish wants to hear. And Jesus followed that question up with a statement of instruction. The second to the last thing that any fisherman wants to hear when he's caught no fish. Instruction from somebody who's not fishing and who apparently has caught no fish on how to go about catching fish. Cast the nets at the other side. And they had a great catch. Notice verse 14 and following now. The third time, Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But now, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify the Lord. In the verses that we did not read, when Jesus responded to the disciples and they knew who he was, one man jumped overboard. And we don't have to think too hard to know what man that was, do we? Peter. Remember now that the scene, the timing of this event. Why would Jesus be interested in seeing Peter? Well, because he loved him. Why, given the circumstances, would Peter be anxious to see Jesus? In one of the other Gospels, and we don't have time to go there right now, it tells of Jesus having met Peter one time before this account that we read in John 21. And apparently, although the Scripture does not specifically say so, apparently, Jesus and Peter at a very private meeting where Peter confessed his sin and Jesus forgave him, because Jesus welcomed Peter and Peter was glad to see the Lord. Jesus three times asked the question, Peter, do you love me? Each time Peter responded, Lord, you know that I love you. Now I want you to think about that little phrase for a moment and understand the position that Peter was in. A man who had three times denied the Son of God, having been warned in advance that he was going to do it. And he was asked a very direct question. And it wasn't just Jesus and Peter. It was Jesus and Peter and six other disciples standing there as witnesses. And Peter, if he thought about it, knew in his heart that whatever he said in response to Jesus, Jesus would know whether it was true or not. And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said that knowing who Jesus was, because it was true. Peter loved the Lord. And even as Jesus had warned him before, I prayed for you, you're going to fail me. When you're restored, you're going to have an opportunity to serve again. And in Jesus' response to Peter, each time, he gave him that opportunity. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What was Jesus' response? Tend my lambs. Tend my sheep. Jesus gave Peter, the man who had been an utter failure just a very short time before, an opportunity to care tenderly for those who had just trusted him as Savior, who needed the ministering hand of one who knew the Lord and who loved him. And that was Peter's privilege because of the graciousness of Jesus in forgiving him. There are many unbelievers who never come to know Christ the Savior because they are confused about God's attitude toward their sin. They think they have somehow sinned a sin so grievous that God could never forgive them. Not true. There are many believers who are out of fellowship with God who never seek God's forgiveness because they have convinced themselves, perhaps Satan has helped in that cause, that their sin is so great that they could not be forgiven. Not so. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you this morning for the picture that we have of Peter and your gracious, forgiving spirit to one who wounded you so deeply in denying who Jesus was and that he knew him. And yet you forgave him when he sought repentance. And we thank you for the confidence that we, too, can seek forgiveness from our sins and have the same gracious response from heaven above to our plea. Guide us through this day. Help us not to overlook our failures and fail to seek forgiveness, for the forgiveness is at hand.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Jim Dewink, Dean of the School of Education at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.